But we have to produce change in our lives. We can't stay the same. I can't afford you to stay the same in 10 years. You can't be just like you are in 10 years. I can't have you be like you are right now in 5 years. You're great. Don't get me wrong. I like you. You're awesome. You're wonderful. But in 5 years, you need to change. Can I tell you something? In 2 years, I need you to be different than you are right now. And in 1 year, I need you to be different than you are right now. In 6 months, I need you to be different than you are right now. I need you to actively pursue change in your life. The body of Christ for so long has opted out of changing by saying, whatever thy will is, Lord, whatever thine will. And it sounds wonderful. And it sounds very holy. It sounds fantastic. Whatever thy will is, Father, not my will, but thy will. You know, we all go to the King James English when we begin to pray. And we begin to pray for God to change us. Can I tell you something else? We pray, God, humble us. Can I tell you something? The only person going to humble you is you. The Bible even tells us to humble ourselves. I think the church a lot of times has made up answers when we didn't have them. I think pastors have been under heavy pressure to have the answers for everything that happens in life. And can I tell you something? Bad things happen in your life and I'm not going to have a reason for it. I'm not going to be able to point back and say this is why you're facing what you're facing. I do know we live in a fallen world. I do know bad things happen, storms, all this kind of stuff happens because we live in a world that is in tribulation, that is in moaning and groaning for its creator to return. That the Bible tells us the earth is in travail. The earth is as giving birth in labor pains, waiting for its savior to return. So I don't know why everything happens. And we have made up answers. The church has made up answers that are not true. When someone goes home, we say, oh, God needed another angel in heaven. That's bull. And that's junk pressed together. Bull junk. For you to become an angel would be a step down from your position. Angels are never called the sons and daughters of God, but you are called the sons and daughter of God. Why would I get down a level when I go to heaven? That's not what you're called to do. I can't tell you exactly why everybody goes home to be with the Lord when they go home to be with the Lord. But what I can tell you is that God is good and His mercy endures forever. I may never be able to tell you why you're facing the situation you're facing. And can I tell you this? There are times you're going to ask me and I'm going to look at you and say, I don't know. And that's an okay answer. That is a perfectly fine answer. I feel no pressure from you to have an answer for you on a subject. Now, there have been many times I've said, I will look it up and I'll try to get back to you on a subject. But I am under no pressure to give you an answer. I'm expecting God to be your God. And not pastor to be your God. I expect you to go to the Lord and not always to me. Now look, I will cry with you. I will hold your hand so many times about one subject. Because we have to, you know, grow up. And we have to do things. And we have to move forward. And so I'll cry with you. I will love God with you. And I'll help you through the problem that you're in. And our brothers and sisters in this body will do the same thing. In 6 months, I don't expect to hear you talking about the same problem. It's not that you face things that don't still hurt. Of course they still hurt. There are some things that if I sat down and meditated on, it would bring tears to my eyes today. But I don't sit down and meditate on them. Can I tell you one thing though? At one time, they held on to me. The experience I had held on to me. But now, it's like looking in a rearview mirror. I can see them back there, but I'm still pressing the gas going forward. I'm not asking you. I'm not asking you to forget where you came from. I'm not asking you to forget all the trials and tribulations that you went through, the people that were supposed to protect you set you up to be hurt. I'm not asking you to forget those things. What I am asking you to do is recognize that Jesus calls you to become an overcomer and get out of the mess. Do not live as a victim, but live as victorious in Christ Jesus. Lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in all your ways, and God will direct your path. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Your mind will go tilt, 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 not understanding how you can get out of the mess you're in. Not understanding how you can grow above the culture you were raised in. Not understanding how you can get out of a mindset of poverty. Some of you might not have been raised in your poorest county in your state, but I was. And can I tell you, it took me 10 years of being away before I came home and looked at the situation and said, this is not normal. This is not a normal mindset. This is not a normal mentality. But God's word, once it gets on the inside of you, will cultivate. What is the greatest seed on the face of the earth? The word of God. Yes, your time, your finances, all this can be seed. But you want change. You want something to produce in your life. The greatest seed you can plant is God's word. You plant that word in the heart, and it will cultivate change. So today we're going to focus on how to plant the word. Hello. How to cultivate your heart so that it will produce for you. I have to get you out of a place of just knowing God's word and receiving God's word. And so can you turn with me to Mark chapter 3? I've heard people say, I know I'm in faith, Pastor. I have faith, but my circumstances are not changing. I believe that most of the problems don't lie with God's word are on God's side, but they lie with us. We have got to be sowers, and we have got to be reapers. Have you ever planted anything that produces fruit? You have to go out and receive the fruit. You even have to watch over the seed. You know, I took some strawberries and planted them in my rock wall. Because I needed something. Strawberries, I am convinced, are a weed. You can eat them. I know they're delicious, but they grow like crazy. And I needed something. I got so sick of having to constantly, every spring, pack the dirt back in my rock walls because it washed out when the snow was melting. So I planted strawberries, and I got a harvest this year, and I was so excited about the harvest. See these little strawberries growing, and when they got to a good size, I went out, and then when I flipped them up, there were holes eaten all in them. Apparently, not only I think strawberries are delicious, but so do the birds and ants and everything else that lives around my area. The squirrels, me and squirrels, we have a problem. They don't really like me that much, and I don't really like them. Because they tear up my stuff. They'll tear up your rose garden, too. Did you know that? They will mess. They will plant black walnut trees everywhere. And you'll have to go around and get those things up. They're irritating. There is a whole mess of animals out there that are waiting to steal your harvest. There are. They're everywhere. Let's read Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. I always love the King James, especially when he starts out with hearken. That's a word we should bring back. Just in the middle of our conversation. Hearken! Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Can I just stop right there for a second? That's what sowers do. Sowers sow. Believers believe. Christians are Christ-like. Disciples, they imitate who they study after. Sowers sow. So if you're not sowing, you're not a sower. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell upon the wayside. and behold the fowl of the air. I'm telling you, those, they're out there. They are out there. The crows, they're out there. They will steal the word. The fowl of the air came down to devour it up. Verse 15 tells us what this means. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Have you ever spread seed out? Now there's different kinds of plants where you plant in a different way. And there's some seed that you need to plant three at a time. Some seed you need to plant two at a time. Some seed you need to plant five at a time. Why? Because the rate of that seed producing is low. I'm trying to think. Lettuce, you normally plant three lettuce seed right in the same hole. And you have normally a 1 in 3 chance of one surviving. That's why you plant three. And then when it comes up, so that one, this is why we got to cultivate it. When it begins to grow, you look down and there's two seeds popping up. I have yet had three pop up. But yet two seeds are popping up. And I look to see which one's the most healthiest. And then I pull the other one out. Why? Because I'm watching over my harvest. I'm cultivating and watering the harvest. And so the reason there's some seed that you scatter. What is that? Grass seed. You just scatter it. Now, I would recommend aerating the yard before you do so some can fall down deeper. But do you know why you scatter and you got to scatter a lot of it? Because birds love grass seed. And they will come down and eat your grass seed. And can I tell you something? If you want a beautiful lawn, see, you're learning so much this morning. I love a healthy yard. I love good grass. I like for it to have the lines in it. I like for it to look like a golf course. That's what I want my yard to look at. I want people to drive by my yard and say, he knows what he's doing. That's what I want in my yard. And so I have to spread the seed and I have to spread the fertilizer out. And do you know what happens when you're fertilizing your yard for the first time and you have this big thing of fertilizer and you're not paying attention and you have a hill and it dumps over? It will destroy a patch of grass. And Ken, I'm not going to say that this did or did not happen, but then when you spill it and you realize, oh my Lord, this is going to burn the grass, then you have to go out with a shop vac and suck it up and pray that the neighbors are not watching. Henry, come here. Look at our neighbor. He's lost it. He's vacuuming the grass again. Sower sows the word. But when we scatter the seed, the enemy's coming in to steal it. Do you want to know why the enemy's able to steal the seed that was sown? Because the heart was not cultivated ready to receive the word. If there is hard ground, my ground is hard. It's got a lot of lime rock. It's crazy. You go down the road just a little bit and the ground is beautiful when they till it up. And my yard has rocks and all this stuff in it that is hard, it needs to be softened up. It needs to be prepared. That's why I aerate the yard so that seed can go down. You got to sometimes prepare the ground that the seed is going into. So your heart needs to be cultivated. Your heart needs to be ready to receive God's word. And so as we receive God's word, the first thing of getting your heart ready is accepting Jesus as your Savior. That's the first thing you must do. That is the first thing we do to break up the ground of the heart. To get that cultivated. That's our first step. But let's look at Matthew. I want to look, you don't have to turn there, but Matthew 13 and 9. You can project that when you get it up there and you can look up here on the screen. And when anyone heard the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he that receives the seed by the wayside. Do you know, my grandfather, he was a farmer. And I used to go and help him. I loved it. I had so much fun helping him. I loved watching things grow. And I was so dumbfounded that something so tiny could spring up, the blade, the ear, spring up and then give us so much more than what was planted. That never ceases to amaze me. And then if you want to get like romaine lettuce, it's just so tiny. It's just this little sliver. And you plant that in the ground and it will produce a head of lettuce that is huge. It's amazing to me. And so I remember planting, and this is just a side note. I remember my grandfather had a big oak tree and we had corn one year. Do you know Florida can't really grow good corn? Not compared to up here to Wisconsin. This is good corn country, but you go down to Florida, that is not good corn country. I didn't know what good corn was until I came here, because I am convinced you keep all the good corn and you send out all the bad stuff to the rest of the states. You're like, we're keep the sweet corn. This corn right here, we wouldn't feed the cattle. Ship it to Florida. And so all the corn would be at a certain level. And where this oak tree was, all of a sudden, that corn would dip and then go back up, because the oak tree was sucking up all the nutrients that the corn didn't get. But when we would plant, every once in a while, there would be some that would spring up off of the cultivated ground. It never produced as good as where it was cultivated. Can I tell you something? We have to prepare a heart. We have to look and take inventory of our own self. We have to see where we need to change. There are times you should periodically take time in your life and ask God, where, Lord, do I need to bring change? Where is it, God, that I need to make change in my life? But not only ask the Lord, but look at His word, what it says it will produce. And then look at your life and say, God, is the word producing in my life like it should? Then if not, why is that? Because can I tell you something? Some bring forth 30, 60, and 100 fold. I'm not going to settle for 30. I'm not going to settle for 60. And I think I need a church. You can't settle for that either. We're going to have to rise up. But what we have to do is look at our life and say, what needs to change? And then actively pursue it. Can I tell you something? And I am preaching to the choir. What does that mean? I'm preaching to myself more than I am any of you. And I want nobody to repeat this to me later. Especially if you live in my household. But I need you to be healthy. I know. I need you to be healthy. Because you have a lot to do. You have to live a long life, because God has called you for such a time as this. And we're going to focus on the vision. We're going to focus on being redeemed, that we have been made righteous, that our relationship with God has been restored. We're going to love God and love people and make disciples for Jesus Christ. That is our goal. That is our focus. And I need you to replicate yourself as many times as possible. Now, let me speak to my geeks in here. So some of you, that doesn't include you, but all my trick... Anyone? Don't be ashamed. Okay, there we go. I'm starting to see it pop up among the crowd. If you watch those shows, and I have watched a lot of those, and some seasons or TV series, I've watched all of them more than once. And there's this animal, this creature that is called a replicator. And it is the one thing that constantly gives them trouble. Because what do? They immediately go in, take substance, and begin to replicate themselves at a very fast speed. There we go. Light bulbs are going off among my geeks. Okay, yes, we're getting there. And so what we are to do is to be replicators. We are to dive into God's word, which is His seed, and begin to plant that in our life, produce a harvest, and continue to give that seed, that harvest, into other people's lives for them to replicate themselves. So when the enemy comes in, we cannot succeed in Madison, Wisconsin, because they just keep replicating themselves. We must fall back. We are losing too many people. We should be the scariest thing. Let me put it this way. The devil should have nightmares about you. The devil should be calling his imps, his little demons, and say, can you please check under the bed? I don't know if Ryan's there. I don't know if Deborah's there. I don't know. I don't know if they're there. I don't know if they're praying. Just go in and check for me one more time. But Satan, we already have. No one's there. Just go check one time. Okay. You need to find a different room. I know that I checked just a few minutes ago, but Madison's praying. And so we don't have this area anymore. Let's go try Illinois because we are losing Wisconsin. We need to be the scariest thing to the enemy. That we're not, see, it's one thing if you never replicate. Because then they understand we just have to bide our time. But when you begin to make disciples of Jesus Christ, then that is when everything hits the fan for the other side. Where they begin to look and say, I have no idea how to contain this. When they were lost, when they were depressed, when they were on all this medication, we could control them. At least we could limit the damage. But all of a sudden, our church has risen up. They're going to prayer on Monday night. They're going to life groups throughout the week. They're preaching God's word everywhere they go. We are losing control. You know, they used to say that Madison was a 14-mile bubble surrounded by reality. When I was told that, I said, good, I love bubbles. My favorite thing to do with bubbles is pop them. We're going to surround Madison with the reality of God's word. Mark chapter 4 in verse 5. And some fell upon stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth, but when the sun was upon it, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 16 tells us what it means. And these are they likewise which are sown upon stony ground. Can I tell you something? The ground is not the issue. The stones in the ground is not the issue. Because we live here, y'all call them bluffs. I'm going to tell you, when I first moved here, they are mountains to a Florida boy. When I drove through the Dales for the first time, I looked around and said, look at these mountains. I was mocked relentlessly. But right out of cliffs, trees are stretched out and hanging on. How is it possible? The root system. They have deep roots. Now, a tree can be on the same cliff, the same place, and because it has not deep roots, it gets so heavy, it falls off the edge. But why is it that one tree stands where no other trees can be? It is the root system of where and how it's plugged in. What I have to have in you is deep roots. Do you know I love the roots of the cypress tree? Because they intermingle so much that they can merge into one root system. That's why in the state of Florida, you know, there's cypress trees in mountaintops and cypress trees in the swamps. Different kinds of cypress. But the ones in the swamp, they have these, we used to call them knees, these little elbows sticking up out of the water. And then they go up on land, and as it floods, the seed gets up there. But when the water comes back in, the trees way up the bank can continue to live. How? Because their roots are intermingled with other trees merged into one, and they can suck the water right out of the river and be up the hill. When you come a part of the body of Christ and you connect your life with ours, all of a sudden you may be in a dry place in your life, but you're connected to a root system that is rooted and grounded in God's word, allowing you to get everything you need, even though your circumstances, even though your house is in the wrong part of the town, even though you say, God, my kids are going to the wrong school, God can reach them right where they are. Because your roots go down deep and connect with the rest of the body. I feel like I'm about to come unglued this morning. Woo! I'm going to have to calm down for a second because I won't finish. Now, and they had no roots in themselves, so they endured for a time. What does that mean? There are Christians who get in the body of Christ that all of a sudden you see them growing. And because their roots don't go down deep, because they're not into the Word of God, all of a sudden the sun comes up and begins to scorch them. Trials and tribulations. Somebody mocks them in their family or their co-workers. Oh, so you're one of those believers. You're one of those name it, claim it, brab it, grab it, blab it, grab it, whatever they want to call you. When I first heard that, I didn't know people were making fun of me. They would say, you holy rollers. Bible thumpers. I'm like, well, what's wrong with any of that? These are all good things. But some of us, maybe you were passed over for a promotion because of your faith. Maybe you were let go because of your faith. Now, they didn't come out and tell you that because they know of legal reasons they could never do it that way. But you begin to irk other people in your workplace. And it had nothing to do with you. It had everything to do with your faith. And so you suffered because of the word that was planted into your heart. And God tells us that they received it immediately with gladness. And because they had no root, affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. And they were offended. We have got to get away from offense. We have to get away from being offended. We have to get away from being offended. We have to get away from being offended. One more time. We have to get away from being offended. Offending, being offense, is cancer to the body. And what do you do with cancer? You get it out. But in this, we have to get beyond being offended. Because that will spread in our life and we will become bitter. Offense produces bitterness. And we will be bitter, and we'll come to a point that we don't even know why we're this way. And we'll say things like, everybody's against me. Everybody at my work hates me. Everybody at my work is against me. No one in church really likes me. No one in church wants to listen to me. No one in my friends want to be around me. I'm depressed. We got to get out of offense. Pull it up. Because the fruit is always bitterness. We've got to get beyond it. Now, we're ending. I want you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 1. In verse 1. We cannot back away from God's word. When circumstances pop up that try God's word. Can I tell you something? The devil's not happy when you advance. The kingdom of darkness is not happy when you advance in God's word. Why? Because that means more destruction in your own life or his own kingdom. He's all about his kingdom. And he knows the more you grow in God's kingdom, the more you will push into the kingdom, push into his kingdom and defeating his kingdom versus rising up the kingdom of God. So he wants to stop you. So he's coming for the word. He's coming for the word. And we've got to be diligent to plant the seed of God's word into our heart. Watch over it. Do you know something interesting about the ground? Something so interesting. That rocks that are deep in the ground work their way up. The ground continues to push things out of it. It's very interesting to me. It's almost like your own skin. If you get a splinter and you leave it alone long enough, your skin will begin to expel that on its own. That's dumbfounding to me. The ground is the same way. Rocks are not of the ground, and the ground begins to refuse the rocks. Between hot and cold, it contracts and expands, contracts and expands, and it begins to push things out that are not of it. And so we have to cultivate. We have to watch over. We have to see, when you plant something, a lot of times you will heap dirt up over top of it. Make rows so nicely because you're cultivating the ground.
We have to watch over God's word. We can't back away from it just because the sun all of a sudden beats down on the ground. We can't back away from it because we're made fun of what we believe. We can't back away from it because something has happened in our life that seems to go contrary to the word of God. The only thing it means if we have not reaped our harvest is that we are not done yet. You know, lettuce takes about, in the ground, what is it, 60 days? Hydroponics, it takes 30 days, which is awesome. But if you do this, how many have ever grown jalapenos? Jalapenos take about 6 months. 6 or 7 months. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong there, but it's quite a few months. Because I planted jalapenos. And I'm like, what is wrong with this plant? It is not producing. So I had to go and look and read about jalapenos, and they're here like six. I mean, I'll go get a dollar's worth at the grocery store. I am not planting jalapenos again. This is too long. Just go to the grocery store. But there are some things that take a little while, and we still have to watch over it. And can I tell you something? In our climate, hello, in our zone, you know there's different zones around the world. In our zone, because of the coldness that we deal with, they say the best thing you could do for jalapenos in our climate is to get out there and shake them a little bit. Because it tears the fibers of the stalk, and it causes it to be stronger. Because it grows back and it heals itself. The same way you build muscles. You tear the muscles a little bit and they grow to mend themselves. So basically the reason when your muscles are bulging and there's bumps is because you tore it. And it is healing itself. You broke yourself and your body's healing it. That's why I'm like, no, I ain't breaking nothing. I'm like, I better pad some of this stuff. I don't want it to break. I'm just kidding with you. But in our climate, we might have to do something a little different here in Madison than they do in Georgia and Alabama. Can I tell you something? Nothing wrong. All the armed forces, I'm not knocking any armed forces. But do you know the Army, they can almost, you know, they send them into all these certain areas. But Marines normally go in first. Right? The Marines normally go in first. If you're going to survive in Georgia, Alabama, Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, these are all Bible Belt places. You can be part of the Army. You just go in. You can survive. Your cash register will talk to you about Jesus. Walmart, they speak in tongues. At the restaurants, you have a blessed day, honey. I sure will. You know, they'll get all involved in your business. But when you come to Madison, you got to be a Marine. Because we have bubbles to pop. We have places to take. We're going in first. So you can think about your brothers and sisters that are in Alabama and say, that's for the Army. We've got to take ground. God has sent you to Madison for such a time as this, not because you're weak, but because you are strong. God can depend on you. That's why you are here. So get out of your stinking thinking, if only I could be in Tulsa, if only I can be in Alabama, if I could be in Dallas where everybody loves Jesus, even the sinners know Jesus. That's not where you're called. You're called to Madison. God's going to get in and we're going to have some wind and it's going to shake your branches a little bit. And you may be looking, my brothers and sisters down there in 30 days got a harvest. Well, let me tell you something. Jalapenos will knock the socks right off of you if they're cultivated right. When the devil bites into Madison, he's going to be, that's too hot. I hope you're getting what I'm preaching here. It may take a little more time for the harvest to come up here, and it may look different than Florida or Alabama, but it's because we are in a different zone. We are in a different location. The harvest, the whole planting's different. The whole season's different. But God's word will not return void. What you have planted, you shall surely reap. You don't like your life right now? Plant a seed to meet your need. Start planting God's word in your heart to bring in a harvest that you've been wanting. Psalms 1:1, I'm sure you have found it. Blessed
The power to prosper is what blessing, or the power to gain increase, is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Can I tell you something? When you go to work, you'll get counsel of the ungodly. Go to family reunions, you'll get counsel of the ungodly. Just walk out, watch television, listen to what's going on, the radio. You will get counsel from the ungodly. They'll sing about it. They'll talk about it during the lunch break at the water cooler. They'll tell you everything that the world will do, and that is counsel of the ungodly. You can't function and live in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners.
There are some people you can't be their Jesus. Don't stand in their way. That's all I'm going to say.
Nor sit in the seat of the scornful.
There are some people that are so bitter that you're going to have to tell them, I love you, but you can't talk like that around me. I'm sorry, I can't handle that. That drains me. And if you're going to 50 people with the same problem, you're draining. If you go to Jesus and you pray about it and you come out whining about it, you did not pray. All you did was whine. Because when we go into prayer, we cast our cares upon the Lord. And casting your cares is not some light thing. Casting means to throw. Casting means to give. Have you ever, y'all don't know this, but you went casting a cast net? Now, I can't do it pretty. Some people can throw it and get a beautiful circle. But I have to do it ugly. I got to put it in my teeth, which is nasty because it goes to the ground and all that mud. But to get a good enough spread, I got to put it in my mouth. And then I got to throw it over my shoulder. And then I got to hold it. And then I throw it with the right spin. And it goes out and opens up beautifully and lands down, and I pull in my harvest. But what I'm saying is the word cast, you got to do it with some oomph. You got to do it with some power. Now, your casting may look different than mine. You may not have to put it in your mouth. You may not have to get all muddy and dirty like I have to. But when I cast something, I got to put some oomph behind it. And so when I pray, some of you pray so nice and so beautifully. Dear Jesus, you know, my coworkers, I need some help in there. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And maybe that's enough for you. That may be enough for you. I don't know. But for me, and somebody told me one time, you don't have to get so loud when you talk to God. Yes, I do. Because it's not for God. It's for me. It's the only way I know how to get it over there. It's the only way I know how to get it up on Him. Some things I got to talk to them. I got to talk to inanimate objects. I got to talk to problems that you can't see. I got to talk to circumstances that you'll never lay eyes on. And then I got to tell the Lord, the good and the obedient, they shall eat the good of the land. So all this stuff, get out of my way. God has caused me to be victorious, to be an overcomer. And Lord, with you, with me, who can be against me? So you may be able to be all nice and quiet about it, but I've got to be loud about it. Because I'm casting my cares. I'm throwing with some effort upon the Lord. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. We can put it this way. His delight is in God's word. And in His law, or in His word, does He meditate. The word meditate here means to imagine, to muse, to absorb in thought. Day and night. Can I tell you something? This is a lifestyle. It's not just one time a day. It's not just for 5 minutes. This is a lifestyle. And he shall be like the trees planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in season. His leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. We've got to meditate. Can I tell you something? Many of you will hear meditate and you'll think you need to light candles and incense and sit like this and maybe even make some humming noise. Hum. Hum. That is not meditation, people. It may help you to get in this kind of pose, but that is not meditating. Meditating is thinking upon. Meditating is imagining. Meditating is hearing God's word and thinking, when this manifests, how am I going to use it? How am I going to live? I don't talk like this because I see God's word. I don't speak like that. I don't speak out of bitterness because I see what God's word has to say about bitterness. I don't speak out of the counsel of the sinners because I see what it's producing in their life. I better start speaking what it is I believe. Paul said, I believe, therefore I have spoken. So we need to get in God's word, plant it in our heart, and begin to speak what God has said. Because what am I going to believe? What mama and daddy said about me? They said some nice things. But maybe you didn't have parents that said nice things. Am I going to believe what Miss Johnson said about me in the sixth grade? Or Miss Summers in the fourth grade? Or any of those teachers, my science teacher? I remember one time one of my science teachers, I made a joke and she said, Tim, where are you going to go with that? Where is that going to take you in life? And I looked at her and I said, I don't know, maybe Comedy Central. And that's when I went to the office. Am I going to repeat the words that everybody said about me? Am I going to talk about my circumstances or am I going to talk about my God? When the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was sleeping, they woke him up. Master, do you care that we die? We're going to perish here, Lord, and you're sleeping. And I believe Jesus just, you know, one of the translations says he was asleep on a pillow. I like that idea, storm. Because if you've ever been in a boat during a lot of storms, it's just a rocking. And the best sleeping you've ever done is on a boat that's just a rocking. And so I can see Jesus getting up and saying, you know, boys, I'm tired. I've been preaching all day. I'm going to have to do this too. All right, settle down. How long are y'all going to have to be with me? Oh, get up, stand on the bow of the boat. Oh. Okay, storm, peace be still. Now I'm going back to bed. I wish y'all could have done that yourself. And he goes back to sleep. When you begin to talk about the storm, you'll begin to notice it everywhere. Because can I tell you something? The storm is as far as you can see. Now, it's not as far as your destination. But it is as far as you can see. It is as far as you can see. And so when we talk about it, we'll notice it more. It's called the law of attraction. What you put before you, you're going to see it everywhere. You've noticed this when you buy a vehicle or a car or a truck that is outside of the brand that you normally buy. When you buy a new vehicle that is a different brand than you're normal used to, you'll begin to see it everywhere. I brought an Acura TL, and I never even noticed them before, to tell you the truth. And as I'm driving around the city, I'm like, oh, there's one. There's one the same color. Oh, there's one. How did everybody go buy one at one time? No, I just all of a sudden put it before me. When you put God's word before you in the midst of the storm, you will see the seed. You will see God's word in the midst of the storm. You'll begin to speak God's word because it's what you believe. Instead of saying, Master, are you going to save me? You'll begin to say, I'm glad we're going to the other side. I'm thankful that God has spoken into my life. I'm thankful for the seed of the God's word that is planted in my life. I will live and not die and proclaim the works of the Lord. I will succeed. I will be victorious because God has made me the head and not the tail. Genesis 1 and 5, you don't have to turn there, but the Lord said, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower. This is the Tower of Babel we're speaking of, which the children of men built. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them that they have imagined to do. We plant God's word on the inside of us. We begin to speak God's word. We begin to see God's word manifesting. And when we begin to speak God's word, it will build expectation. expectation before us. I love this. People in the church have told me that they have a vision board. They have a board in their house where they put things that they are believing God for. And the whole family prays over it. They put a picture of a home they're believing God for. A picture of a car they're believing God for. Picture of finances, what they're believing God for coming in. Vacations of the whole family. Not just on the daddy's shoulder anymore, but the kids are getting in and putting prayers down. Believing God for increase in the family. And they put that before them and they become one soul, one heart, one mind in a vision and believing God for increase, planting God's word on the inside of their heart. It is important that at this church we are one. Any politician knows if you're going to change a nation, you have to divide it first. Any organization that wants to change the way our nation is, they know they have to cause division before they got to split everything. Some of them will even say we have to tear it completely down before we can rebuild. That's why we must be one in a nation. We must be after the same principles, the same heart, the same mindset. And in a church, we must be after the same principles, after the same mindset. We must have on the inside of us until you're at night just quoting it. Your wife, your husband will tell you, you were over there, redemption, righteousness, relationships. Love God, love people, make disciples. It's just going to be on the inside of you. And that's what we're going to focus and be all about. And as we do this, we will change our city, which will change our county, which will change our state, which we have already proven, whether you like it or whether you don't, you change Wisconsin, you can change the whole nation. Amen. And I am looking for that bubble to be popped. And I am looking for the world to say, what happened to Madison? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the seed. I want every individual in this place, right where you are, I want you to ask yourself right now, God, what is this word? What are you trying to tell me? What part of this message are you speaking to my heart? Ask the Lord right now where you are. Every individual. I believe many of you are getting answers right now. Some of you, it may be throughout the week that God is going to speak to you and show you, this is what I meant for you. This is what I was showing you. This is what I was speaking to your heart.